Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu Plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Jonathan Strickland. I'm a staff writer here at HowStuffWorks. And with me is Chris Paulette, editor extraordinaire.
Hola.
Hola to you, Chris. We're here to talk to you about a really big event that's going to happen in the United States in November. Not Thanksgiving. No. I mean, that is going to happen in November, but that's not the one we're talking about.
Is there something else happening?
Yeah, we're talking about the elections here.
Oh, that election.
Yes, and of course, since we're the tech channel, we're going to talk about how the internet relates to elections, particularly this election.
That's true. You know, a few months ago when I was working with someone else, that would be Josh Clark, who you may know for stuff you should know. We actually put together a series of political articles on how Barack Obama works, how Hillary Clinton works, how John McCain works. They were, you know, the principals in the election. And one of the things I noticed from that was that there's just so much more interest in the elections. And when we were talking about ideas for podcasts, I told Jonathan I thought that we should do one about how the internet has really profoundly affected this election, because so many more people are involved in the outcome of this. They're just really, you know, personally invested in there. They want to see what happens, you know, from both sides, from the conservative side and the liberal side, and, you know, everywhere in between. And in fact, as I was doing research for this, I saw a report from the Pew Charitable Trusts, which always makes me think of a certain cartoon skunk. But aside from that, they did a report in June and said that 46% of adults are using the internet or some kind of electronic means for political purposes, to share information, for fundraising, to keep up with things. And that's amazing. I mean, 46% of the population, you know, that's a significant amount considering the number of people who are wired, because not everybody uses the internet.
That's true.
Even still.
And, I actually read in a report over, from our friends across the pond over, over from the BBC News, that people under 24 trust online media more than they trust television as a source of political news.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's crazy in the sense that that it shifted so quickly, right? I mean, comparatively speaking, the internet is still a pretty young thing, and the web is even more young than that. The web hit the scene in the early 90s, that became available to the general public around then. And the internet's played a role in earlier elections, but really this year, 2008, it really seems like this is the year the internet's come into its own as a political vehicle. Not just for the media reporting on this or citizens who are blogging about it or reading about it, but also for the politicians themselves. Barack Obama seems to have really grasped this. He has his own Twitter account. He's actually in the top 10 Twitter users for people who follow Twitter. And not only that, but his Twitter account follows back anyone who follows him. So if you follow Barack Obama, Barack Obama follows you. Now, we should probably mention that it's very unlikely that Obama himself is the one Twittering. You don't really see him.
I think maybe some staffers.
Yeah. You don't really see him at debates, like with his, you know, looking down below the podium with his thumbs going crazy as he's hitting his BlackBerry. although that would be great.
Hold on. I'm not going to talk about the economy here. I got a Twitter to finish. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right with you.
Right. But whoever is on the staff who's doing this is really keeping the followers up to date. I mean, every time that Obama is going to speak live in front of an audience, there's a link in a tweet from Barack Obama saying, hey, you could watch the speech right now as it happens. You don't have to wait for the news tonight. And that's a powerful tool.
That's true. In fact, he's been so adept at fundraising using his website that he's been able to, you know, it was all over the news not too long ago that he was giving up public financing for his election campaign for the general election because he was able to raise money through private means. And of course, the McCain campaign hit back at him, saying that he had flip-flopped, that he had already agreed to use public money. He's not the only one, because Ron Paul, the candidate in the Republican race, was able to fundraise substantial amounts using, you know, grassroots internet work. And, they're basically all the campaigns this year used it as a fundamental part of their strategy. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, they're having various degrees of success with it.
Right.
But, you know, it's been a serious part in the campaign,
right,
you know, itself from the candidates.
And one of the largest initiatives would have to be through email. You see a lot of blogs, you see a lot of things like the neat little Twitter posts and stuff. But really, email lists are where email's still how the candidates are getting their message across, primarily when they're using the internet as a vehicle. I mean, they have their websites and everything like that. But if you have ever signed on to any any politician's website, I guarantee you're receiving email from everyone connected to that campaign. And you may be receiving multiple ones in a single day. And most of the time it's for fundraising opportunities, things of that nature. It's emails a big thing with candidates, which is interesting because I thought email was dead. That's what I keep hearing anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly not dead when it comes to putting down candidates or trying to spread disinformation. There have been a lot of people on, again, all sides of the campaign who are perfectly willing to spread rumors to anyone and everyone.
Not just about the candidates, but about their significant others as well, which
is pretty
despicable.
As a matter of fact, it's gone so far that St. Petersburg Times and Congressional Quarterly have put together a website and an email that I subscribe to called PolitiFact. It's available at politifact.com. And it's kind of cool because they have a truth-o-meter.
Nice.
So what happens is that it's like one of those old needle gauges that you see on audio recording equipment or in a TV studio. And basically what they'll do, and they are very even-handed about it. They take all the different candidates or even some of the third parties that make claims about things that they say in ads. And they'll say, for example, Barack Obama is a Muslim, and they'll say, you know, they'll actually investigate the claim, break it out piece by piece, interview people and break it down, and they'll list it on the Truthometer as being anywhere from, you know, patently true to pants on fire, which actually has little flames in the gauge, which saying, you know, this is absolutely not true and this is why, and they'll break it down into different things. So it's kind of interesting because the email takes it and breaks it, each one of these claims down, and it takes, you know, it plays no favorites. It takes all of them as they come.
That's pretty interesting because there's a lot of disinformation out there.
That's true.
And it might not even be intentional, but it's definitely there.
And Barack Obama, too, had to start a website of his own called FightTheSmears.com, where he addresses each of those, you know, basically it's the email chain that's coming back, and each of these claims he's taking and explaining, you know, why people say this about him and then why it's not true. Mm. So it's, you know, when you actually have to take a website, you know, that's just to do that, it shows how prolific these emails have gotten.
Right. And to go beyond the whole email realm, we can look at other aspects of the internet that have been very important in this election process, like YouTube. The YouTube debates that were held during the primary season, that was huge. And it gave viewers the chance to actually ask questions of the candidates. It really set a new precedent for voter-politician interaction. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why the internet is playing such a huge role in this election. It gives people more of a sense of connection to the people who are running for office. You're no longer looking at someone who's on the back of a train, you know, making a speech before the train goes off to its next destination. Now you're actually interacting with the people who may very well end up being president. I mean, it's a powerful tool.
Yeah, and you'd think, as powerful as it is, that it would allow us to not have to stand in lines on, you know, the second Tuesday in November.
Right.
But, you know, at this point, e-voting, you know, voting from the comfort of your own home wearing your jammies and your bunny slippers, doesn't look like it's going to be here anytime soon.
No, there's some big problems with e-voting. We have some aspects of e-voting already. Chances are most of us, I'm sure, have seen a direct recording electronic voting machine, DRE. That's one of those where you go in and it's a little computer monitor and you touch the screen and you make your choices. And then at the end it says, is this correct? Shows you the ballot and you say yes or no. And you move on from there. And there's been a lot of controversy about these machines, whether they're safe, whether people can hack into them, whether or not they have a paper trail, because without a paper trail, can you really trust the electronic trail?
Yeah, basically the you take your card, you put it in, you vote, and then you're supposed to put the smart card in a box, and you don't know whether anything's being done with that, whether anything's been actually recorded on the card. I mean,
right? There's a whole can of worms there, and when you extend that to the internet, it gets even more complicated. One of the biggest problems is guaranteeing that your vote is counting, and the issue here is between privacy and accountability, because you can't link a vote to a specific individual. That violates your whole right to privacy. You know, some people, they don't care if you know that they're voting for one person versus another, but you can't make a judgment across the board based on those people. You have to ensure privacy. So if you're ensuring privacy, that means you can't necessarily link back one vote to one person. How can you then be sure that every vote that's in your electronic system is accurate and valid? What if someone has hacked in and has put in 1,000 votes for someone and these people never even really existed? Is there really a way you can be sure that that has not happened? Well, the U.S. government has tried to experiment with this. In 2000, the Federal Voting Assistance Program tried a voting over the internet initiative, and it was deemed successful. It had a very secure set in place. It was only a very small sample size, though, so it really wasn't a true test of the internet's capability of being a voting system. So in 2001, Congress gave the go-ahead for an initiative called the Secure Electronic Registration and Voting Experiment, or SERV. And by 2004, they canceled it because the security concerns were so great. There was no way to tell at that time whether or not such a system would ever be feasible based on the technology we had. And they said, we're pretty much going to have to wait until we change some standards and the technology catches up, and then we'll move on from there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny to think that we went from, you know, the possibility of ballot stuffing with paper ballots and hanging chads with butterfly ballots to the bright new future of electronic voting, which is completely hackable and corruptible and nobody trusts either.
Right.
Well, if you'd like to learn more about some of the topics we talked about, you can check out How Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, or John McCain Work. Those are all individual articles. And we also have How E-Voting Works. And those are all online right now at HowStuffWorks.com.
Thanks. Vote early, vote often.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.